Parshas Vayakel Pekudei. In the beginning of this week's Sedra, Vayakel, we'll try Be'ez Hashem to talk a little bit about Vayakel and a little bit about Pekudei. Don't worry, double parasha doesn't mean the shiur is twice as long. Vayakel Moshe Eskol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathers all of Klal Yisrael and he tells them essentially two instructions. Firstly, the mitzvah of Shabbos. Sheishes yomim teosim alocha. 6 days you shall work and on the seventh you shall rest. The mitzvah of Shabbos. And then he proceeds to tell them the second mitzvah, which is of course the mitzvah of the construction of the Mishkan. Initially the donation towards the construction and then the construction itself. So it's the mitzvah of Shabbos followed by the mitzvah of Binyan HaMishkan. The Mefarshim point out that actually that's not the way that he received the instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Parashas Truma and Tetzaveh, he initially receives instruction with regard to the building of the Mishkan, the Kalim of the Mishkan, the Big Day Kohuna, and then in Parashas Kisisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then tells Moshe Rabbeinu to instruct them about the mitzvah of Shabbos, as we read last week's Sedra, the Shomru B'nei Yisrael Es HaShabbos. So first Mishkan, and then Shabbos. When Moshe Rabbeinu then relays that instruction to Klal Yisrael, he switches the order. He puts Shabbos first, and then the Binyan HaMishkan. That is a question that a lot of the Mefarshim deal with. And I'd like to mention the Mahalach of the Kliyoka, because the Kliyoka, in explaining this reversal of the order, as we'll soon see in a minute, this is really a theme that runs across the Kliyoka. I found it in at least four places that he picks up on a similar type of theme and always explains in the same way. And he says that the fundamental difference between these two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Shabbos on the one hand and Binyan HaMishkan on the other, is that the idea of Binyan HaMishkan was really lichvoidom shel Klal Yisrael. It was all about the prestige and honor of Klal Yisrael. Why is that? As we mentioned many times, the Medrash and Chazal tell us that the construction of the Mishkan and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to dwell there, as it were, for his Shechina to reside, was as a kapara for the eagle. It was a kapara for the eagle. So by HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing them, not just instructing them, but allowing them to build this abode for his Shechina to reside, that was a covered for Klal Yisrael. That clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu was prepared to be Meichel and Mechapa them for the Avera of the Egel, and Klal Yisrael were therefore the beneficiaries of this instruction of Binyan HaMishkan. Shabbos, on the other hand, is very much not for the honor of Klal Yisrael, but it's the day that we recall that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Borei HaOlam. He created and continues to create and sustain the world, and it's all about Kavod Shel Hashem. So these two mitzvahs, the Mishkan and Shabbos, represent the Kavod of Klal Yisrael, that's the Mishkan, and the mitzvah of Shabbos, which is our way of being Mechabed, of giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Kliyoka very beautifully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu preceded the honor of Klal Yisrael before his own covered. Therefore, when he gives the instruction to Klal Yisrael, he first, in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh, says, don't worry about my covered. First, let's deal with the covered of Klal Yisrael. They have sinned, the Chet HaEgel, I'm being mechabed them by the fact that I'm prepared to have my Shechina dwelling amongst them. So first comes the instruction of the Mishkan and all that pertains to it, the Kalim, the Big Day Kona. And then, and only then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now we will deal with the mitzvah of Shabbos, which is all about Kavod Hashem. And that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, as it were, makdim, the Kavod of Klal Yisrael, over and above his own Kavod. But of course, Moshe Rabbeinu does the exact opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu says that might be what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's look is. Our look is very different. We gave Kedima, we give precedence to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet. So first up is the mitzvah of Shabbos. That's what's paramount in our eyes. We will be mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu by reminding ourselves once again that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bairi Olam. Once we have done that, we can then proceed to the mitzvah of the Mishkan, which is about our covet. And that's how he explains this reversal of the Seder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Klal Yisrael's covet before his own, and Klal Yisrael put HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet before their own. This, as I mentioned, is a theme, a very beautiful theme, that's to be found in a lot of the writings of the Kli Yakar. Because in Parashas Tetzaveh, he explains another reversal in the Seder, along the same lines, and he sends you to what he writes in Parashas Matos, where, once again, he has the same type of theme. In Parashat Tetzaveh, he asks a question. The way he words it reminds me very much of something I once heard from my Rebbe, Rav Fosh Malevitz, Shliti Shavu Rav Fosh Shalema. I remember he once said a shir, and he said, I really have two kashas on this Gemara. He said, one kasha is... And he told us the whole kasha. He said, I have another kasha. In fact, he said, the second kasha is almost bigger than the first kasha. And that is, how come none of the Meforshim asked this kasha? That's as troubling to me as the kasha is in itself. The Kli Yakar says over here, he says, I can't understand. The kan in poitze peh. Nobody opens their mouth. Nobody picks up on this, he says. What is it? If you look in Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Dalet, Ve'eleh ha-begodim, this is the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, Ve'eleh ha-begodim asher yasru. These are the clothes that should be made for the Kohanim who are serving in the Mishkan. Choshem ve'ephod. Choshem, of course, the breastplate, the ephod, me'il, the chseines. But that quite clearly is the order. First, choshem, and then ephod. Problem is, says the Kli Yakar, if you look in Parshas Pekudei, when the instruction is eventually relayed, guess what? The order is reversed. First, the ephod is mentioned, and only then the choshem. Why the order reversal? Says the Kli Yakar, a very beautiful pshat, again, along the same lines. And he sends us to the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Erech in Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says, if you look in Parshas Tetzaveh, there is a very interesting juxtaposition. We have the Big Day Kahuna, followed immediately about the instructions of the Karbonus that went on in the Mishkan. There seems to be some correlation or some comparison, some relationship between the Karbonos and the Big Day Kahuna. And the Gemara in Erechim says, indeed there is. In fact, every one of the Big Day Kahuna served in some way as an atonement for a different type of Aveira. Just as Karbonos serve as an atonement for different Aveiras. And that's why they're put next to each other. And the Gemara proceeds to explain every one of the Big Day Kahuna, which Aveira was it coming to atone for? The Gemara says, for example, Choshen. What would you think the Choshen comes to atone for? Well, as we know, they used to consult with the Choshen to ask their Shailas. There is a discussion, we once spoke about this on a Friday shiur, whether you could ask halachic Shailas of the Choshen. But the Gemara says that the Choshen, therefore, is Mechaper al Hadinim. Mechaper al Hadinim. If ever there is a distortion in justice, Dinim, that should not have happened, the Choshen, the very fact that the Kohen Gadol is wearing this Choshen, will serve as an atonement for that injustice. Mechaper al Hadinim. What's the Ephod for? Says the Gemara, the Ephod is Mechaper for Avodah Zarah. Mechaper for Avodah Zarah. If ever there was a sin of Avodah Zarah in Klal Yisrael, the Ephod would serve as an atonement. And the Gemara continues every single one, the Me'il for Lashon Hara, etc., etc. Says the Kli Yakar, well, there we have it. The Choshen is Mechaper for Dinim, a distortion of justice. What about the Ephod? The Ephod is a kapara for the eagle. Says the Kli Yakar, you'll notice once again that one of those is a covered for Klal Yisrael, and one is a covered for the Ribbono Shel Olam.
If there is an Aveira of Avodah Zarah in Klal Yisrael, well, clearly it's the covered of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has been, as it were, tampered with. Pegeya, and the covered of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of serving him, we've served the Egel, served the Avodah Zarah. Dinim, which refers to a social injustice that happens here, that affects Klal Yisrael. They are the ones who will suffer as a result of justice being misappropriated. Says the Kliyaka, well, there it is. That's why we have the difference in the Seder. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially gives them instruction, what does he say first? Choshen. Choshen's got to be first. Because the Choshen is Mechaper, the Aveira, which affects the covenant of Klal Yisrael. Then, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will then come on to the Eifoid. The Eifoid, which affects my covenant, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that comes second. How does Moshe Rabbeinu then relay that instruction? Flips it round. First comes the Eifoid, because the Eifoid is all about the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we can move on to our covenant, the Kapara of the Dinim. Which, of course, is exactly the same as what he's pointing out in our Sedra. Shabbos versus the Mishkan, which comes first? It depends who's talking. If it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael's covered comes first. And if it's Moshe Rabbeinu on behalf of Klal Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covered comes first. And the Kliyoko there says, have a look at what I wrote in Parshas Matos. In Parshas Matos, we have another very famous steer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu, tell them, he says, tell Klal Yisrael, Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael. Remember, Klal Yisrael had just suffered the terrible tragedy, 24,000 of them had been wiped out following the story with Midian. Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael. Go and seek vengeance on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Two psukim later, Moshe Rabbeinu relays that instruction. What does he say to them? Nekoim Nikmas Hashem. Seek the vengeance of Hashem. That's not what Hashem said. He said, seek the vengeance of Klal Yisrael. Furthermore, Rashi says that look how great Moshe Rabbeinu was. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this was one of the final missions of his life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him so specifically. He says, Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, after which you will die. After which you will die. So he knows that once he relays this instruction, the battle will be carried out. That's the end of his life. Says Rashi, nonetheless, he carried out this mission from the Ribbono Shel Olam with tremendous simcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is what I have to do. This is what I have to do. Says the Kliyaka, where do you see in the pasuk that he relayed it with simcha? Maybe he did it with a very long drawn face. Maybe he said, well, listen, you're not going to see me much more, so here's my final instruction, this is it. Where do you see in the pasuk that he was done with simcha? Says the Kliyaka, Gewaldige Pshat. Who suffered? Who suffered as a result of the whole Aveira and the whole goings on with Bilam and Midian? The truth is, Klal Yisrael suffered, obviously, 24,000 of them died. But of course, we cannot forget the tremendous bizoyim, the tremendous zilzul to Kvod Hashem. There was Avodah Zarah, Chazal say Mufurish, that the Benois Midian, they were sent down to meet Klal Yisrael, and before they engaged them in Aveira, they first convinced them to serve Avodah Zarah. So whose covered is at stake over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. And also Klal Yisrael's. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Don't worry about my covenant. Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael. Seek their vengeance. That's what's of paramount importance to me. Don't worry about my covenant. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll have to die. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Tells them, don't worry about our covenant. 24,000, that's not half as important as the covenant of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nekoim Nikmas Hashem. That's why the order was reversed. That's why the instruction was altered. Says the Kliyoko, hang on a minute. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have listened carefully, as we can be rest assured that he did, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say?
seek the vengeance on behalf of who? Of Klal Yisrael. And then you will die. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have relayed that instruction word for word, imagine he'd come to Klal Yisrael, he would say to them, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he's covered, he's prepared to forego. But we have to now seek the vengeance to wrest back our covered, following which Moshe Rabbeinu will die. What would Klal Yisrael have said then? Klal Yisrael said, listen, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to forego on his covered, and all that remains is our covered, and then you're going to die, you know what? A deal's a deal. We'll be Meichel, our covered as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu was Meichel his, we'll be Meichel ours, and then Moshe Rabbeinu won't have to die. If Moshe Rabbeinu still went out of his way to alter the instruction and say, don't worry about our covered. Let's remember the covered of the Rabbeinu Shalom, despite the fact that he knew that the end of his life is contingent on this battle. Says the Kli Yakov, that's where you see that he carried out this mission b'simcha. Because he had all the reason in the world to slightly deviate from the instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he could quite easily have told HaKadosh called Klal Yisrael, it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cover that's important, it's ours. And Klal Yisrael would have said, fine, mochalach, mochalach, mochalach. And he didn't. You see how keen Moshe Rabbeinu was to stand up for the covenant of the Rabbeinu Shalom, despite the fact that he knew this was to be his last mission. This was to be his last mission. So again, this is now a third place where the Kli Yakov has this theme that runs through all the different Sfarim. Is it Klal Yisrael's covered or HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covered, which is given first rights? And the interesting thing is, this is perhaps more Bederech Remez, but again, the Kli Yakov in a fourth place in Parashas Bo again picks up on a very typical type of Kli Yakov diuk. In Perek Yud Beis, Posuk Zayin in Parashas Bo, it says as follows there, Klal Yisrael are in Mitzrayim, and they are told to be makriv the Korban Pesach. And what should they do with the dam? V'lokchu min hadam, they should take the blood and put it al shtei hamezuzos, on either side of the door. And where's the third place? Va'al hamashkef, at the top of the door, on the lintel. Says the Kli Yakov, if you look, when Moshe Rabbeinu relays that instruction, he says, v'yigatem el hamashkef, on the lintel, ve'al shtei hamezuzos. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, mezuzos first, and then mashkef. Why did you reverse the Seder? How would we even begin to answer a kasha like that? Says the Kli Yakov, the shtei hamezuzos are keneged Moshe v'Aharon. And who's above all of them? The mashkef at the top is keneged the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu cholak lohem kavod. So he mentions the shtei mezuzos first. Put Moshe Rabbeinu before my kavod. V'heim cholku kavod el Hashem. And they said, no, the mashkef comes first. That represents the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. This theme, as we mentioned, which runs several times through the writings of the Kli Yakov, I found also in the Ksav Sefer in a couple of places. I saw it first, actually, in the Sefer of the Bar Tanura. The Bavadi Bar Tanura has a Sefer, a small Sefer, not so well known, Sefer Amar Nekei Al Atayra. And on Parshas Chukas, he picks up on a diuk where many of the Mefarshim are tereach to explain this. Klal Yisrael complained, as they have been known to do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they should erect this snake, and everybody who will look at this snake will survive, and those who don't will be killed. There is a very small but clear alteration, once again, a deviation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instruction and Moshe Rabbeinu's relayal of that instruction. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Asei lecha sorof, make for yourself a serpent, I think is the way they translate it. But when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael to do this, he says they should make a nochosh, a snake. That's not what Hashem said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, a sorof, not a nochosh. Why did you change the instruction? So he says, and I understood this better once I saw how the Ksav Sefer writes it. He says, once again, when Klal Yisrael complained, who are they complaining against? It says quite clearly in the Pasuk that they were complaining Vayedaber Ho'om Bo Elohim Uba Moshe. They complained against the Rabbeinu Shel Olam and also against Moshe Rabbeinu. So once again, it's the old theme back. Whose cover is at stake? Is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu's or is it Klal Yisrael's? It's both. So what's more important? So the way the Ksav Sefer explains it, he says, the Nochosh reminds us, of course, of the very first Nochosh, the Nochosh HaKadmoini in Gan Eden, who spoke Lashon Hara about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Nochosh always represents the one who's Pegea in the covered of Hashem. What about the Sorof? Says the Ksav Sefer, Ge'onus, he sends us to a Mishnah in Ovis, where the Mishnah in Ovis says, be very careful when you talk against Talmidei Chachamim. Shelechishosam, because their bite is like the bite of a sorof, like the bite of a serpent. If you talk against Talmidei Chachamim and Gedolei Yisrael, you're walking a tightrope, you're on very dangerous territory. You could be bitten by a sorof. Says the Ksav Sefer in the Ba'at Tanura. So the Nochosh represents the one who's Pegea in the covered of Hashem, like the original Nochosh. The Sorof represents the one who's Pegea in the covered of Klal Yisrael, Talmidei Chachamim. Well, that explains the difference, therefore. Klal Yisrael complained against who? Talmidei Chachamim or HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Both. Bo'aleikim uba Moshe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm waving my covered. My covered would be represented by the Nochosh. Aselecha Sorof. Sorof is the punishment that comes to those who complain against Gedolei Yisrael. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? You should make a Nochosh. Never mind our covered. Never mind our covered. We have to be concerned with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covered. That's the covered of the Nochosh. And that therefore explains that Shinei and Seder as well. There are other places as well, but Dayenu Bezer, we see this theme that crops up in many, many places where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always makked in the covered of Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael in turn are always makked in the covered of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Parshas Pekudei, if ever there was a theme, 18 times we meet the same phrase, Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. I think we've probably spoken about it 18 times. And we always mention the Mahalach, the Gewaldige Mahalach of the Beis HaLevi, where the Beis HaLevi points out to us, as we mentioned before, that the Mishkan is a kapara for the Egel. And the Egel, what was the Aveira of the Egel? Not that they were Eved Avodah Zarah. They didn't just throw off the yoke of Matan Torah and get rid of it all, but rather they made Cheshbonis L'Shem Shamayim, which might be all wonderful and well, except it was never sanctioned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The antidote for that, therefore, must be to build a Mishkan in which Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. You would have thought that maybe you could construct it in a different way, maybe even a better way. It doesn't matter. Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. That's the recurring theme. We've spoken about that in a number of places. The Baal HaTurim points out, interestingly, that the 18 times of Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe represents the 18 brachas in Shemoneh Esrei. The Shemoneh Esrei, the 18 brachas. He said, if you look carefully in the Pesukim, you'll see there's actually a 19th. On one occasion it says, Kasher Tzivo Hashem Kein Osu. So that 19th is for the 19th bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. And he explains the whole theme there. But besides for the Beis HaLevi, there are one or two other ideas which I'd like to share with you in this emphasis, Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, again and again and again and again. I saw just this morning in the Shemesh Shmuel where he writes as follows, and he says, how can it be that Hashroas HaShchinah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can allow His Shchinah to reside in something that's been built by human beings? How is it that we can take physical stone, zog, kesef, and nechoshes, and somehow allow that to be receptive of the Shekhinah? How do the two come together? So he says, Adova nifla b'yaseh. He says, the real answer is, it can't. Something that's built by human beings simply does not have the capacity to contain in it, as it were, the Shechina of the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's only something that's built by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoido b'atzmoi that can have the Shechina residing there. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed you to do so, and you are acting therefore as the Shliach of the Rabbeinu Shalom, so as we know, we've mentioned many times in Kiddushin, Shluchai Shal Adam Kamoisei. So it's in fact as if the Rabbeinu Shalom himself constructed all of these kelim. We mentioned just a couple of weeks ago in the Shir, Rabbi Kleiger once sent somebody on a shlichus. He said, listen, I need a certain mission done, shouldn't take you long, and he sent him on his way. And he was expecting him to report back. And he's waiting for the shliach to come back. He doesn't turn up. A day, 2 days, 3 days. 2 weeks later, this person suddenly arrives back at Rabbi Kleiger. Yep. Job done. He says, Rabbi Kleiger, where were you for 2 weeks? I've been waiting. So he says to Rabbi Kleiger, says, I'll tell you the truth. You sent me as a shliach of yours. Shluchai shel Adam kemoisei, which meant that all the time that I was a shliach, I was kemoisei, I was like Rabbi Kleiger. I rather fancied being like Rabbi Kleiger. So I wanted this really to drag on as long as possible. Now that my mission has ended, I'm no longer Rabbi Kleiger. Says the Shemesh Shmuel, as long as this was being constructed as a shlichus of the Rabbeinu Shalom, then it's as if Kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constructing the Mishkan. But it has to therefore be Kasher Tzibur Hashem as Moshe. The minute you step out of line and you infuse perhaps your own kavanas, your own details and your own ideas, that's all fine and wonderful, but you're no longer acting as a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm sorry, the Shekhinah can't therefore reside there. But if indeed it's Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, then indeed it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's construction. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's construction, that's where the Shekhinah can reside. As he says, Kol Ze Yitochen, all of that is only possible Kishenase Al Pi Tzivui, from the Tzivui of Hashem. Then Shlucha Shalom Kamoisei. Aval in Shino Badavar, the minute you change and you alter and you deviate, Batla Hashlichus. Sorry, now you're going alone. This is no longer HaKadosh Baruch Hu's construction, it's your own. The Shekhinah can't reside there. V'advarim nifloim v'yoseh. The truth of the matter is, if you look very carefully, you will see something interesting, and the Mephoroshim pick up on this. It only actually says Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe in Parshas Pekudei, not Parshas Vayakel. What's the difference between Vayakel and Pekudei? Vayakel deals in the main with the construction of the Kelim in the Mikdash, the Oren, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach, the Kiyoy. Pekudei deals in the main with Bigdei Kehuna. That's where it says Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe time and time again, in fact 18 times. Why is that? Surely all of the Mishkan, all of its construction, Kelim included, was all done Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. Why is this phrase only mentioned specifically in Parshas Pekudei with regard to the Big Day Kahuna? So we will get to a kliyoka in a moment, and with this we'll finish. But just by way of introduction, the Briskerov, Kedarka Bakodesh, explains it, of course, al pi halacha. Va'ato tetzave, it says in the beginning of Parshas Tetzave. What does Rashi say there? The word tzivui refers to something which is noyheg l'doyres, something which lasts forever, not temporary. Something which is an instruction that applies for all times can be coined as a tzivui. Says the Briskerov in his Atta Ga'oinus. That's why it doesn't say v'ata tetzave in the beginning of Parshas Truma. Because the construction of the Mishkan was a one-time instruction. It didn't apply after that. There was a construction of the Beis HaMikdash, but not of the Mishkan. Whereas, what was Parshas Tetzave about? Parshas Tetzaveh is about Hadlokas HaMenorah, And Big Day Kahuna, that's forever. That even the Beis Hamikdash, there's no difference in the Adlaka Samaneira. There is no difference in the Big Day Kahuna, in the Mishkan, or in the Beis Hamikdash. The Klei HaMishkan, those are very different. Shlomo HaMelech's Kelim were of different proportions to that of the Mishkan. Therefore, if the word Tzivui can only refer to something which is Noeg L'Doyreis, it cannot possibly have been written in Parshas to Truma. Says the Briskera of Goinus. That's why if you want to write that they did it Kashet Tzivo Hashem, you can't write that in Parshas Vayakel. Because Vayakel was the binyan of the Kelim. There wasn't a Tzivui. In Parshas Pekude, which deals with the Big Day Kohuna, that was Vata Tetzaveh. That was Kashet Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. There was an instruction for all times. That's what the Briskerov says. The Meshech Chochma says there was something very unique in the Big Day Kohuna. In fact, Big Day Kohuna entails an Issa Da'iraisa. Which Aveira is included in the Big Day Kohuna? The Aveira of Kilayim. In the belt of the Kohanim, Machlokes Rishonim, was it all Kohanim or the Kohen Gadol? There was Kilayim. Tzemer Pishton Beyachad. So how on earth could you construct that and then wear that? It's an Aveira. What's the obvious answer? If Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you to wear it, then you wear it. Says the Meshech Chochma, well, that's why it needed to be pointed out. That they designed the Big Day Kohuna Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe in accordance with instruction of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Because had there not been an instruction, then they wouldn't have been allowed to wear it because it contained Kilayim in it. But in conclusion, we began with a Kliyoka, we'll end with a Kliyoka. The Kliyoka has a Yesoid Godel to explain why Kashet Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe is only written in Parshas Pekudei, and in fact to explain really the fundamental difference between Parshas Truma versus Tetzaveh, and then again Parshas Vayakel versus Parshas Pekudei. And he says as follows. In the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, in fact in the opening pasuk, it says, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan Ha'edus. The word Mishkan twice. You'll forgive me, but I can't not mention the Chassam Sefer. What's the gematria of the word Mishkan? Mem Shin Kaf Nun. Mem is 40, Shin is 340, plus Kaf 20 is 360, plus Nun, another 50, 410. Says the Chassam Sefer, that reminds us of the first Beis Hamikdash that lasted for 410 years. What about HaMishkan? Well, obviously it's 410 plus the Hey, that's 415. Plus the five letters of HaMishkan, that's 420. The second Beis Hamikdash was 420. Says the Chassam Sefer, well, that might sound a bit tenuous. Because Mishkan, the Gematria worked out exactly, 410 on the nose. But the 420 is a little bit forced, because really there's five missing. It's only 415, and we had to add five, which is, it's mutter. In the instruction book of Gematrias, you're allowed to add oisies, but it's a little bit tenuous. There's really five missing from the second Beis Hamikdash. It says, Achsam Sefer Dov Anifla, because the Gemara in Yuma says, in the second Beis Hamikdash, there were five things missing. There was no Orein, there was no Nevuah, there was no Urim V'Tumim. So therefore the remez of that is that the Gematria, which reminds us of the 420 years, indeed has five missing. It's not completely missing, because you add the five letters, you get your 420. But it's missing from the Ramaz, the Gemara in Yuma. Goenus. I'll call upon him. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan Ha'edus. Why is Mishkan mentioned twice? So Chazal tell us, a Medrash Tanchuma, Shebeis HaMikdash Shel Mato Mechuvam Keneged Beis HaMikdash Shel Ma'ala. Literally translated, the Beis HaMikdash down here, below, on planet Earth, was Mechuvam, was aligned with the Beis HaMikdash Lema'ala. Firstly, what does that mean? Which Beis HaMikdash Lema'ala? And if there is a Beis HaMikdash Lamala, what does it mean it was Mechuvan? It sounds like, says the Kliyaka, it was aligned. So exactly where the Mishkan was, If you look up, exactly above it was the Beis HaMikdash Lamala. Says the Kliyoka, besides the fact that it's hardly likely and hardly logical, but it doesn't make sense anyway, because the Mishkan kept moving. As they traveled through the Midbar, it kept moving. So what? The Beis HaMikdash in Shemaim also moved? Besides, it's unlikely that we're just merely referring to some geographic location of the Mishkan. So he says, and this is his big yusayid, and I think this really helps us understand a lot about the sequence, Trumot Tetzaveh, Vayakel Pekudeh. And he says that in Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Tes, right at the beginning of Truma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs them to construct the Mishkan, and he says, "Kechoil asher ani mare oischa," exactly as I show you, "Eis tavnis haMishkan," I will show you the model, as it were, the form of the Mishkan. That's how you should produce it. The Lashon of the Pasuk in Parashas Truma, it says, "Kasheher eso bahar," as I showed you up in the mountain, suggests the Kli Yaakov, there wasn't a Beis HaMikdash Lamala. Why would there be and why should there be? The Beis HaMikdash Lamala, he suggests, and this is a Chiddush, refers, he says, to that instruction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu Lamala. Moshe Rabbeinu was Oyla HaShomayim, as we know, for 40 days. And he received instruction there about the Binyan HaMishkan. Says the Kli Yaakov, you'll note that although this phrase is repeated a number of times in Parshas Truma, "Kechol asher ani mare oischa," as I showed you there in Shamayim, but you won't find it once in Parshas Tetzaveh. For whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not show him b'Shamayim the exact model and form of the Big Day Kahuna. He did, however, show him the model of the Klei HaMishkan. Says the Kli Yaakov, that's Parshas Truma and Parshas Tetzaveh. There are two separate parashas going on over here. Parshas Truma, the Avodah was to replicate, to duplicate exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had showed Moshe Rabbeinu b'Shomayim. That was the instruction. Lefisha HaMishkan v'keilav nasa hakoil b'mare ashehera Hashem l'moshe b'har. And he says, that's what it means, the Mikdash Lamata was mechoven with the Mikdash Lamala. It doesn't mean there were two Beis HaMikdashs. It doesn't refer to some geographical location. It means the Mishkan Lamata was constructed exactly aligned with the Mikdash Lamala. Which Mikdash Lamala? The Mikdash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had shown Moshe Rabbeinu Lamala. It was constructed exactly in accordance with those instructions. Says the Kli Yaakov, Aval Big Day Kahuna Shelamato, the Big Day Kahuna, as he says, Einon Bichlal Klei HaMishkan. Those were, why are there Big Day Kahuna? The Torah tells us why. Lekovod Velesifaris. The way he explains, it's Machlokas Rishonim actually, who's covered and who's Tiferes? But the Kli Yaakov says it's Aaron HaKohen's, the Kohanim's covered. It's the covered of the Kohanim. That's not essentially part of the Mishkan and its general theme. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu never showed him, never showed Moshe Rabbeinu up b'Shamayim, the construction and the building and the making of the Big Day Kahuna, because that's not an integral chelek of the Mishkan. And that's why Parshas Tetzaveh is an altogether separate parasha. And so too, when we get to Vayakel and Pekudeh, once again it's split up. We have Parshas Vayakel, which deals with the instructions of the Klei HaMishkan, and then we have the instruction in Pekudeh, which deals with the Big Day Kahuna. Says the Kli Yaakov in his closing statement, he says, that's why in Parshas Pekudeh, we find this phrase, Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe, 18 times. In Parashas Vayakel, it's not necessary to write Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu had seen the most clear vision HaKadosh Baruch Hu had shown him, Bechvoidei Ba'atzmai. So he had now done exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him. He'd seen it. But Parshas Pekudei, he'd never seen it. He'd been instructed, but he'd never been shown. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never showed him a model or a form of the Big Day Kahuna. There the Torah points out to us that despite all of that, don't worry. Fear not. All the Big Day Kahuna were made exactly in accordance with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instruction. Parshas Vayakel? That's obvious. That's not a chiddush. Moshe Rabbeinu had seen them. B'chmeidah be'atzmah had seen them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed them to him. But Parshas Pekudei where he'd never seen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed, but he'd never given him an image, a form of what the Big Day Kahuna looks like. That's why the Torah had to go out of its way to say, nonetheless, all the Big Day Kahuna came out, Kasher Tzivo Hashem Es Moshe.